Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to the Swolecast. You know what? I have done so many of these best ball drafts. It's really becoming second nature to me. And so I am going to basically draft a little bit on medium mode. These guys like to draft on easy mode in these best ball drafts. I'm going to draft on medium mode and not just draft on underdog, but also draft simultaneously on DraftKings. It should be a fun show and one where I can just display what makes me a perennial best ball finalist. So stick around. It's a Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com.
Can you name Static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye. Hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro. Live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
All right, welcome in. It's a Swolecast here presented by RotoGrinders.com. I've done over 100 drafts on DraftKings in the best ball melee. So
seriously?
Well-versed. Yeah, seriously.
That's impressive.
Yeah, especially when sometimes the draft screen doesn't always work. So we are drafting right now in the underdog draft. I have the 1.12. And
surely picking at the wrap is not going to lead to any auto picks for Mr. Kitchen.
No, it shouldn't. Pete has the 1.10. Davis has the 1.9.
I hope everyone watching today has their telescopes out, their magnifying glasses. You guys, you really get close to the screen, you could see what's happening in these drafts.
Well, yeah, Peter, we're drafting back to back right now, and we're going to be drafting back to back tonight on ship chasing as well.
Wait, you're in the main tonight?
We're pick two. You're pick three.
Who's we?
What is the funniest combination of people that it could possibly be?
It has to involve Silva.
It's Chess, Liam, and Kyle. Me, Chess,
oh,
Liam,
you're doing
and
the
Kyle.
Chess, Liam one. Okay, I saw Liam was in that draft. I didn't realize that was your guys'. Are you streaming this concurrently? You going head to head with ship chasing?
We are recording it. It'll be out on the TakeCast feed in the morning. So, Kitchen, do we get our first auto draft here?
No, I was hoping that Diggs would fall to me at 12. I mean, falling to 11 is a pretty big fall there. on Underdog. So I'm just going to go with a little bit of AJB and then
Value Hound Kitchen. That's what they call him.
Well, that is what they call me. And then just go with a little bit of Amon-Ra. So I've got the 1.12 on Underdog, the 1.1 influencer pick here on
draft. Two rap picks for David. Absolutely no chance of auto drafting here on. No,
in fact, this is like when you're doing something, Davis, you can probably attest to this, right? Like when you're doing something, you want being on one end of the wheel because it means maximum time between those picks.
I agree. Like, so I try to read in between picks when I do the cardio club. So I love when I get the wrap pick because then I got like 5 minutes to read in between.
You try to read?
Yeah.
Like a audiobook or no? Or, I mean, a book.
Philosophy. Or like...
Yeah, I've been reading Friedrich Nietzsche. I've been going through all of his stuff. So I just have my paper copy and I have my phone. I just set my phone up on the stair stepper and I get the little alert to my watch. So when you get the rat pick, it is the nuts.
Yeah. Pete, what about you? Because you're doing all this on stream. So like getting one end of the wheel, is that preferable for you or?
Oh no, I do all mine on stream and I do what Davis does. I sneak in some reading about the Stoics whenever I'm on the wrap there too, while also engaging with the chat. You got to be able to do it all these days, Kitchen, just like you juggling two drafts at once. You got to be a multi-hyphenate in this competitive fantasy football economy.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah, I will say, did you guys see the Jeremy LaVine tweet earlier today? Yeah, and maybe
so really appropriate for you to be drafting on both right now.
Yeah, because I love Jeremy, also a former DraftKings pro, and love the guys there at DraftKings. And so, you know, this is something that for those that maybe not, I don't know if you can even pull it up, Sosa, but if you didn't see it, basically Jeremy is saying DraftKings and FanDuel are trying to like influence lobbyists behind our backs to shut down Underdog, Sleeper, Prize Picks. Any of these fantasy sites that, you know, they're like the fantasy pick'em sites, and he doesn't want to see that happening. And basically said like DraftKings and us fought together. We all DraftKings, FanDuel, and us fought together, and now they are they become the man. They are now the establishment that we work so hard to fight against. So Davis, any thoughts on that? Because Pete probably can't say much.
I mean, I do not have any knowledge of the inner workings, but it does make sense that the DraftKings and FanDuel people would have spent the last decade or so, basically gaining friends in the lobbyist sphere and amongst lawmakers. And I mean, if Brian Hooper was on the program here, he could talk a lot about how governmental involvement in private industry leads to bigger companies using governmental pressure to crush innovation. Certainly sounds. And now again,
it's like a regulation moat, like a legal moat is kind of what they say, where like you create this moat where no one else has the advantage and can't cross. And so that's kind of what they're trying to do.
It's also interesting as we lose our video boxes on the screen. It's also interesting relative to the Barstool and ESPN news and Barstool essentially waving the white flag of like, we thought we could juggle being an edgy content provider while also being tethered to the printing machine that is a sports book. And they waved the white flag on that.
We'll get to some the draft boards here in a second. I don't think it's Barstool. I don't think it's Barstool waving the white flag.
You're on the clock. You're on the clock on DraftKings, David.
Of course. I'm looking at the screen right now, silly. I've got Smith, Ridley, Higgins. Man, just gonna.
I think it's totally waving the white flag. They now cannot partner
by Barstool.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
They can't. if they sell ever again, they have to give 50% to Penn. Like everyone's like, Portnoy owns 100% of it. No, you don't. You own 50% of it. If you sell,
and they
it,
can't,
you don't get
they
50%.
Can't get sport. They can't get sportsbook advertising dollars anymore.
Which is the biggest cash cow in the sports adjacent business.
Yeah, but first of all, we don't know like what monetization events, like what that means. But from what I've been reading, basically ESPN wanted to do a deal with Penn, or Penn, ESPN said they would do a deal with Penn, and Portnoy knew that he had them, you know, that they weren't going to do it without or with Portnoy. So, you know, he just basically dug his heels in until they gave him the company back for free. Like, it might be waving the white flag on like running a sport, like running
Kitchen,
a sports book.
Literally portraying this as anything but like just a massive failure is so stupid. Now, does that mean that Barstool is down and out? No, they're very good at the content game. They can monetize that. They can generate revenue streams in other ways. But this is a gigantic L as a corporation. They tried something, they overleveraged themselves, and they failed. Now, does that mean this is not a business you want to be in, or that Dave Portnoy is not massively rich?
No.
Obviously, no. But this is an L.
Well, failure, it depends on what your – did they become a successful sports book? No. Did they – you know, they got double-digit market share in states like Michigan and then quickly fell off. Their demographic is way different than what someone should be. And like, they just – they don't – they didn't really partner with affiliates. They were counting on their stoolies. I'm saying it's a win – for Barstool, because they get to go back to what kind of made them.
It's a win for the content creators. It's not a win for the investors. Like the whole, it's the same thing with Underdog.
Yeah,
with like,
right. Yeah.
With best ball, they want to transition into pick'em sports betting games because that's where the massive windfall is. Barstool waved the white flag on the massive, massive windfall and said, let's just do what we're good at. And we'll get back in our lane and we won't ever have the insane valuations that make everyone's head spin, but we'll just get back to what we're doing. So it is a concession and a waving of the white flag from the pirate ship of what they initially were trying to do.
Right.
Kitchen just is such, you know, he's such an entrepreneur brain. He always has to see the way out. But like, you know, your fellow on, like you and Dave Portnoy really like pretty similar accomplishments in sort of the entrepreneurial space.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like, just don't absolutely. Think like this was as the sports book part of Barstool was a failure. The Barstool sports book was a failure, and no one can deny that. But this is probably a big win for them, for Portnoy, because they sold for $550 and you bought it back for $0. Like that just does not happen.
I can't engage with you if you're trying to define this gigantic L as a win. We got no common ground here.
Well, two things can exist, right? That the Barstool sportsbook failed, and that Portnoy getting his company back and retaining basically all ownership unless he sells, which he says he's not going to, is also a win. Like two things can exist in a vacuum. You don't have to just define it as one big failure or one big win. It's kind of what I'm saying. I'm taking the reasonable.
The reason why it's worth pointing out is because like part of all of their peacocking and grandstanding was we have the perfect audience to turn into sports bettors. And not only this isn't like a DFS crowd. No, these are the dumbest of the dummies who are going to be getting their action in on your site. They sold that dream to sports books and then it didn't work out because it's a really competitive space.
It's just a hard business to succeed in. And there's probably a little bit of hubris in thinking, you know, that they were uniquely positioned, and it turned like, and I mean, I bet we probably see this with ESPN bet, you know, is that we see ESPN think they're just going to walk in with this built-in marketing, this built-in audience. And my guess is that ESPN bet is going to be rockier. I mean, how many people watch football on Fox, college football and professional football on Fox? And Fox bet is already done. Fox bet is already rest in peace.
Well, that's why check out Kyle Scott Laskowski at Kyle Scott L. He was a guy that had his company. I don't know if you guys remember Jason Zernicki. He was like back in the Daily Joust days. He had an affiliate company. He and Scott started this Crossing Broad, which was a Philly affiliate company. They got acquired by XL Media. who also acquired other companies like Saturday Down South. Anyways, he has a long thread, just a huge long thread on why it didn't work out and like his predictions and future. And part of it was Penn just refused to spend. They did not have the marketing and tech necessary to compete with these big giants. And now the question is, can ESPN Bet be that, basically?
Well, they've got a lot of built-in marketing, right? ESPN Bet does, because...
Well, it's kind of like the Yahoo model. They aren't specifically saying that they are going to, as I'm picking on the wheel here, on both sides, they aren't specifically saying that they won't allow any other. They're still going to take DraftKings and FanDuel's money. So you're still going to be having DraftKings and FanDuel advertising on ESPN. And meanwhile, ESPN Bet, like Penn... Jay Snowden, the president CEO of Penn, is saying that he wants to capture 20% market share. I just don't know about that. All right.
Find you a man who can talk business and do two drafts at once and host the show. Round of applause for David.
Pete, are you impressed right now? Like, be honest. Are you impressed just a little bit right now that I'm doing this? While talking.
No, because I can't even see what team you're drafting. It could be the worst team I've ever seen. Anyone can do two teams.
But
at least
I'm not auto-drafting, though, is the the real takeaway here.
Yes, let me pat you on the back. You are auto-drafting. You just timed out on Best Ball Mania. It took Gabe Davis. Did? Yeah.
Oh no, I picked him. I start him. Okay. Yeah.
Little early for G Davis.
Is it though?
Unstacked sixth round, Gabe Davis.
Davis, as another Davis, you should know. Yeah, I like to live a little and buck the buck the ADP trends.
Someone I had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle this morning on a team, and someone took Tua in the sixth round, and it sent me. I was not having a good time.
My team so far here, this is my 118th streamed Best Ball Mania draft. You know, I have to relinquish the hosting duties to Kitchen here, but I will recap my team. Austin Eckler, Ramondre Stevenson at running back, wide receivers, Garrett Wilson, Jerry Jeudy, Marquise Brown, tight end, George Kittle. Davis, what do you have through six rounds?
So I took Devontae Adams at 9. I'm just trying to load up the Devontae Adams bags. My favorite start in Best Ball Mania 4 is Devontae Adams, Tony Pollard. Then I reluctantly clicked Keenan Allen. I wanted to take Debo. Then I really reluctantly clicked Amari Cooper. Did not want to click him, but he was about 15 spots after ADP. Then more happily clicked Tyler Lockett and Kyle Pitts.
You and I both ADP passed on Chris Godwin to get our tight ends there.
Yeah.
As an ADP ho, Davis, I'm really surprised that you are drafting Devontae in the first round, because I've got so much Devontae and he's almost always there towards the latter half of the second round.
I just don't like doing the Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen start. And I don't like doing,
why do you have to do that though?
Because a lot of the teams in the final are going to have that permutation, and that permutation is going to project for a lot of points. And you're really going to want to have those guys together. I just think Adams is going to score more points than AJ Brown and Stephon Diggs, like straight up.
Which is fine. This is personal growth by you, Davis.
Kitchen, I have a pressing question. Is the word ho part of your regular vocabulary?
I was going to say whore, but I didn't want to.
you softened it from whore to ho.
Well, I feel like it was
Christian
more
Tennessee boy can't say whore, but he can say ho.
He's a hoe. You know he's a hoe because his ADP tells you so. All right. I'm on the clock right now on DK. Started with a little Burrow Higgins stack. Also have Jefferson and Smith there, DJ Moore. Basically, I've got a stacked wide receiver room. And so I'm going to get one more wide receiver, and then I'm going to focus on some of these other positions. Boy, tight end. Let's go with Rashad White.
We got a good comment from the stream, from the chat, which is that this is basically an audio only show, but no one is iterating who's on their team, so it's just listening to dudes talk.
I mean, that's what this show has always been. Although
I did blow up the screen, though. Should be a little bit easier to read. Just zoom in there. And I can always go from side to side. Ooh, I'm on the clock here.
All of our, like a lot of, you know, I'm trying to positively encourage like likes
on my
channel. We do like negative reinforcement. If you don't like, we'll do another shit show. Just you watch.
Ooh, James Cook right here. Ooh, very nice. So nice. So Gibbs, Akers, and Cook, Brown.
You're not taking your boy Deshaun Watson here?
Oh, man, that's actually a good point. Where can I get? Ooh, big mistake by me. This is where...
This guy has never not clicked on Deshaun Watson.
You should have clicked Elijah Moore, buddy.
I should have clicked Elijah Moore, and then like this is where.
Wow.
Yeah, we get in trouble a little bit sometimes when you do, but you know, I can always tell the teams that have auto drafted on DK because they all have four quarterbacks
because they show up with a logo that indicates they're auto drafting.
No, I'm talking about like afterwards. Like if something doesn't happen or if I fall asleep, like I got a bad habit of drafting before bed. And so sometimes I'll fall asleep the last draft.
I was going to wonder how you're getting all of these drafts in, Dave. So is that the key to success? You do one in the bathtub and then one in the bed. You're getting two done right there every night.
Yeah. Like I've been drafting in the shower.
What does that even mean?
So I'll draft, and this is why being on the wheel really helps. I'll draft.
Can I close my eyes and picture this? Paint me a picture, Kitchen. How are you drafting?
Yeah. So like, I'll especially if I'm on the wheel again. This is the sweet spot. As soon as I draft the last pick, so let's say, it's the 2-3 turn. As soon as I draft my third guy, I'll immediately fire up the shower, get in there, put the phone in there. And I'll have enough time for it to go, you know, one entire snake. And by the time I get back in the shower, I'll just need to make basically.
So is this sort of part of
you're taking like 2-minute showers, Dave, and then rushing out?
Is this your next selection? Sort of like part of your?
No, I'm taking the phone. I've got little like a little bench and a little like little ledge that I just put the phone right there.
I've got to be honest.
Yeah,
I'll draft doing anything. I have not drafted in the shower.
Well, let me tell you, you get a hot stream on your lower back, especially if you've just spent the past few hours playing pickleball. And it's like a massage / sauna / draft room. Like Pete, I know you say you will not draft in the, or you will not take your phone in the sauna.
Nope.
But I take it in a nice hot shower.
That's just a rookie mistake by Pete. It's so nice to draft in the sauna.
No, we meditate in the sauna, Davis. This is how we get our mind right to deal with David Kitchen on streams. A little meditation before the show. Kitchen, I mean, the fact that you, man, it's an image I don't think I'll ever be able to get out of my head. You drafting in the shower. Yeah.
Kitchen just forever. Racing to click Elijah Moore. Like, make sure he just doesn't miss Elijah Moore or like Donovan Peoples-Jones. Dave, as sort of our Cleveland Browns expert, what do you think is going to happen in that backfield with Jerome Ford's hamstring injury?
What? I've been in meetings all this morning. Is this what happened?
He got hurt on Monday.
This was days ago, Kitchen.
I had not heard this. I had not clicked the little icon. Is it a little icon? Like, what's going on here?
He's got a hamstring injury. He limped off at practice the other day.
He sure did, Kitchen. He sure did.
I just drafted Elijah Moore to go with DJ Moore. This is a Moore theme show because on the other one.
Oh, no. M. Lang 91 doing me.
You want a Richardson?
Richardson. Mm. Yeah.
Tough scene.
Oh, that is very annoying to me.
All right. I'm going to go see.
Oh, you were setting up the Devontae Adams?
Yeah, with the back door, with the back door Josh Downs. Just the back. I mean, Josh Downs you can get in the 18th round now. Like, it's just, it's free.
Okay, so what are we doing now with the Cleveland Browns backfield?
Well, Dave, we sort of put it to you because you're sort of our Browns insider.
Could they draft Kareem Hunt or sign Kareem Hunt?
Word is he's signing with the Colts.
Right. That whole situation yesterday with, was it Rossini who broke the news that he was signing with the Saints, just dashing all the hopes of Hunt round 17 and 18 drafters? And then supposedly he didn't even get to work out before the Colts said, come see us.
Yeah, Hunt Slappies had themselves quite a day yesterday. It was a roller coaster
okay,
of emotions.
Peter, who are the worst Slappies? Fournette Slappies, Hunt Slappies, or Zeke Slappies? Which Slappy is the loudest and slappiest camp?
Hunt Slappies have to be the worst because he's like the dustiest of all of that. And I think Zeke is incredibly dusty. Fournette are the most justifiable. Like, Fournette lands on the Chiefs. He's probably like a fucking.
I'm a Fournette Slappy, which, like, you want to talk about weird twists of fate that I've become a Fournette Slappy. But to me, he definitively is the guy who has the chance of getting a role that you actually wanted to have. That oh, it's week four. And Leonard Fournette just got 18 carries for Team X.
That's like, why they're the least worst of the Slappies, because I think they actually have a leg to stand on. The Hunt Slappies are just true, true Slappies.
Hunt is like extremely dust. Like, Hunt is young enough that if he had any juice left, he already would have signed. I guess he's 28 years old, but like, Hunt hasn't shown anything in three seasons. Like, Hunt, like, and he doesn't even have the... Oh my God. Why are people taking my quarterbacks? Oh, Naveed, I don't love your pick of Dak Prescott. I hate this. It is so annoying trying to push the perfect team on Underdog and your quarterback gets to it. I'm so annoyed.
Sorry, Davis.
Oh, wow. So this is how he's getting.
Yeah, I guess Davis, can you define Slappy? Because we just got the gif of
Slappy is like someone who's bad at whatever gambling activity you're talking about, right? So it's like oh, all the Slappies played Isaiah Likely in DFS this week, or all the Slappies are drafting Ezekiel Elliott, or like Slappy play of the century last week in PGA DFS. I've never seen this before. Denny McCarthy was 44% owned in the single entry contest. That is the Slappy play of a lifetime. Like, just a very mediocre golfer who hasn't had a good finish in 3 months, just got was absolutely stone chalk. Like, that's a Slappy play.
The only reason Kareem Hunt drafters, the only thing they can hang their hat on is them selecting him in the 18th round for him to then settle in the 17th round and be a zero from the 17th round instead of the 18th. And then they can at least have their closing line value. I mean, the every single team in the league has had multiple chances to offer this guy the stone minimum amount of money. And they've all said, you know what? We're good. It took Eno Benjamin getting hurt, one of the guys who is going to be out of the league here shortly, for him to even get a visit. Like, what are the Hunt Slappies even doing?
Well, they believe the same thing that the Zeke and Fournette Slappies do, that these guys want to sign for more than the veteran minimum, and they're waiting for a team to be desperate, right?
Someone to get
actually
hurt.
You know what? I need to reverse all the way. The number one worst Slappies are the Dalvin Cook Slappies. The people drafting Dalvin Cook and his ADP. Because Dalvin Cook, you know, corporate needs you to find a difference between these two pictures. And it's Leonard Fournette and it's Dalvin Cook. And it's the same picture. The Cook drafters are the Slappies.
Disillusioned. No, yeah. Because they, at least when like Hunt drafters, they're like, I just hope I get like one RB3 week. The Dalvin Cook drafters are convinced he's like a top 10 RB wherever he signs.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good point, Peter.
All right. Let's
see what you're working
DK
with here
team.
on Underdog.
On DK or on Underdog?
So you've got an unstacked Deshaun. Oh, no, you got David Njoku. I like this running back room. Jahmyr Gibbs, Cam Akers, James Cook. You started out A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown. you did take Hopkins so you could backdoor Tannehill, and you took Gabe Davis 10 spots ahead of ADP. This, Dave, for you, this is a good team. You're doing a good job.
Hopkins and Collins, you missed that week 15, week 17 stack right there. So, yeah, I'm telling you, I'm getting into it. I'm getting back into championship form. I started a little bit later than you guys, you know, have to. It's like when you're a vet and you don't really need training camp, right? Like
you're the running back
workouts.
You're the running back who doesn't show up until August 15th.
Right. Yeah, I'm still working out. Yeah.
I can't stop buying kitchen stock right now.
Exactly. Speaking of slappies, Davis, would you say that someone wanting Greg Dortch over Michael Wilson is a slappy?
No, that's just someone who understands the permutations of how fantasy football works. Although I got to be honest,
Michael Wilson has been balling out, Davis.
So you know the other thing. You know the other thing that's very interesting about Arizona right now is that Clayton Toon is going to start. Clayton Toon is going to start week one for the Arizona Cardinals, and I don't really know what that means. It sounds like the Cardinals' offense is going to be less functional, though. Like Clayton, like an undrafted free agent starting. Like, are the Cardinals just going to be like 13-point dogs in every game? Like it could be brutal.
Sure seems like it.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Speaking of brutal, right now I'm... Oh, boy, this is... Ooh, no. Mm-mm. Mingo. I like old Mingo.
And permutations, then, by the way. Permutations, Chris Diaz. That's a good one. That's more of like a poker word. It hasn't quite made its way over yet. I feel like it should, though. I feel like permutations is a really good best ball word.
It's no cromulent, that's for sure.
Well, cromulent isn't even mine. Cromulent is a Simpsons word.
Davis, you brought it to the best ball masses. You get to take credit for that. Naveed is auto drafting, which is
he is brutal, yeah, here. Sure.
Is there anything truly? Is there anything more annoying than an auto drafter in a best ball mania room where they're scooping up all the ADP values that you want?
So I have a confession to make. I auto drafted a pit bull team this morning because I had an emergency I had to help with April right as I got into the draft. Ended up with one of those classic 4QB rooms, people tagging me. Are you okay? What's going on? So I've been there. I have been there, and I apologize to
Peter. I've been meaning to bring this up. Have you been besmirching the star method on your streams? Cause I've had a couple people,
yeah.
I've had a couple people at me and say, you know, you're saying snarky shit about the star method.
Oh yeah, I've called it the biggest scam of the 21st century.
Here's
Davis
the thing:
out here,
you cannot do the star method unless you are locked in. You got to be.
Can you explain the star method for those that don't consume every piece of content from both of you?
So the star method is very simple. You go, it's for when you're multi-tabling. It's for when you're doing like four or five drafts at a time. You make a selection, you star all of that player's teammates and all of that player's week 17 opponents.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it just helps you. It helps you when you're doing four or five at a time, make the right picks. Now, Peter, basically he's stating that this is bad because if you auto draft, you're taking, you take Saquon Barkley in the second round. And then all of a sudden you just got Isaiah Hodgins in the seventh round or whatever, because of the star method.
Sense to me in slow drafts. In fast drafts, the downside risk is far worse than getting the top ADP value for timing out than taking KJ Osborne in round six, because you have Justin Jefferson.
So this is while we're on this, because I think from a product standpoint, you know, people might not know, but like creating products, creating apps, designs, UX, that's UX, UI. That's something that I do.
You let also me give you a little teams of the shower. Anyways, continue.
I mean, there is no limit to the skill set. The limit does not exist. So as far as here are some of the features that I like on Underdog and DraftKings that I wish they would do basically to consolidate, because one of the features that you can do on Underdog is basically if you've got all your quarterbacks, you just select wide receivers, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, right? So you don't even have to look at the quarterbacks in your list. You can't do that on DraftKings. You have to go one tab, two tabs, three tabs.
Well, the DraftKings best ball product is just not there.
It's really not. There are some things that I really like. So, for instance, if you have custom rankings on DraftKings, you can select by rankings or ADP. People like Artsy Crafty Romo, like that's his name. You can see he's on auto draft. So if you see someone's on auto draft, you know that the next guy that they have for ADP, they're going to draft, right? Or you know that they're going to take like an extra quarterback for some reason. They give auto drafters four quarterbacks, so you know like what they're going to pick, basically. And so you can sort by ADP or rank. You cannot do that on Underdog, and it's I don't know. It's after doing it quite a bit on DraftKings, it's a little frustrating. But other than that, I think the Underdog product is really good. That and the auto draft feature, saves so much time on DraftKings. If you get a guy that is auto drafting on Underdog, it can feel a little painful sometimes when it's every pick. Go ahead.
I want to be clear though, and say I'm thankful for the star method. I mean, one of the best teams I drafted this year was a team from the 101, took Justin Jefferson and then seven straight Vikings players. Like, the star method has specifically benefited me. So I do hope people stay out there and continue to do it.
You drafted
it's
seven.
It's not for the faint of heart is the thing.
Oh gosh. We are Davis, Pete, take your time right now on Underdog, please.
I had to snap pick Rashi Rice at 154. What are we doing?
I'm coming up on the wheel on both sides. Okay, so let's focus on Underdog first. See, I've got Watson. I can pair him with Peoples Jones. And then, okay, I go Knox, right? That's going to give me four. I'm going to have to really go heavy on running backs after this. All right. But
look at this Naveed auto draft team. Here comes Cole Kmet, first tight end. He's got a 4.621 build. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Naveed is the one. Naveed is the one who took Dak for me, huh? Kitchen, make some moves, buddy. Let's see.
Okay. All right. So tight end.
Make your DraftKings pick first.
Right here. No. I got 10 seconds left for this. Oh shoot. Okay. No. I like this. I've gotten a ton of Kyler Murray. Now I'm in the clear. Now I got 27 seconds to reset. All right. Let's see. And then Kyler, I can just go with Gainwell. That's not that big of a reach. There we go. All right. So just to reset on the teams that I have, I've got Burrow. I've got Rashad White, who more and more people are thinking he's going to be just a three down back workhorse. I've got Gibson, who a lot of people are saying is this year's Ramondre Stevenson. We're pairing them with Justin Jefferson, Smith, and Higgins, just high ceiling guys. Laporta, we all know that receiver room in Detroit is so paper thin. And Laporta already impressing people out there. DJ Moore at the new team, Jordan Addison. Don't buy the hype that is Jordan Addison is going to be outsnapped by KJ Osborne this year. Olabisi Johnson vibes there. Elijah Moore, Charbonnet,
that's
who's
like
coming
the one
back.
Example everyone knows of preseason depth chart.
Davis,
lying.
Please, brings not why, not why I'm doing
this. Jefferson thing.
Tyler Boyd, Mims, who, as you guys know, they traded up for Mims. Kyler Murray, and then Gainwell. Gainwell taking part in these 2-minute drills means that he's going to be the guy, catching passes out of the back.
Doing back-to-back days of shows with Settlement and Kitchen while we draft teams, like the fire hose of just insane takes that I've had to absorb. I need to get
and like the fire hose of like slightly wrong regurgitated information they read off The Athletic too. You know what I mean?
At least Kitchen's reading The Athletic. I mean, Jack came in, I mean, just with nothing. I mean, this guy was firing off takes. And I will say, Kitchen, a lot of the comments were people want you and Jack to get together for the basketball take stream.
That is good. That is extremely good content.
That'd be fun. Speaking of Jack, plug him and Ercolano's thing, big content. I've enjoyed that from a consumer content creator and content consumer. So big content's their new channel over there on YouTube. Good stuff there.
When are you going to start your big entrepreneur podcast to weigh in on the Dave Portnoy and how this was a big W for him?
And how can you not say that's a W for Portnoy?
We can't circle back to this. I did it, but it absolutely is not. Just get out of here.
He got control back of his company. As an entrepreneur, Pete, you should understand. Way back in the day, I asked you, could you do like some YouTube videos? And you had this like starving artist thing where you were like, oh, well, I don't really want to click. You were like, I don't want to like compromise my brand and like sell out. And
said that to you.
Yes,
we've never
no,
had this
you
conversation.
Did. You did. This was because you used to do these videos. You did this like a few videos for 4 for 4 and they absolutely exploded. You hit the algorithm just right with the clickbaity titles. And this is when I was talking about bringing you possibly full time over to RG. And you're like,
you
I
never
don't know,
offered
man.
Me a full time job at RG.
Yes. I said it was on the table. And you were like starving artist, wanted to be 100%.
This is so historically inaccurate. This is
no,
absurd.
It is. Pete, you had a full time job if you wanted it. But at that time, you also had a full time job. Anyway. I understand the root. I understand the branches of my tree better than the branches themselves.
The branches.
Is Dave Portnoy on your tree? Is Barstool inside
Portnoy's not on my tree. But anyways, to fast forward, now Pete's doing all these clickbaity titles, and I love to see it. I love to see it. But you have to admit that when you
I deliver on my clickbait, I've never not delivered on my clickbait.
But when you join something, you do lose a little bit of creative control. And so Portnoy gets that back. That's why it's a win for him. He also gets like $275 million from 3 years. Would you take $275 million for 3 years?
The thing is,
no,
is
I'm a starving
Portnoy's,
artist.
Portnoy's personal wealth was never up
you're not
for
even,
debate at any
you're
point.
You're not even doing Yeah. So he's much wealthier now than he was yesterday. Would you agree with that? I'll shoot him on the clock here.
Sure, but his wealth was never in question.
Is that not a measure of success to some extent?
No, it's happening.
Dave, we're saying this specific business deal. I can't do this with you anymore. I'm bored. Yeah. Why have you not commented on my mustache, David?
Yeah, can we go full screen on this mustache also real quick? I wanted to actually talk about this. Is this new, Davis? When did this transpire?
Yeah, all my buddies, I was in Kansas City this weekend and all my buddies had mustaches and I was like, well, I'm not getting left out. So I shaved my beard and just left the mustache.
Oh,
I've never...
snap. I see it now. So I'm, obviously focused on my draft, but I see it now. It's like We need to take a screenshot of that and compare it to when you had a mustache for the Fantasy Insider days.
When I dyed it, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more full now. So I'm feeling good about it. I think we just convinced Kyle Dvorak to shave his facial hair into a mustache. So me, Liam, and Kyle are all going to have mustache side. Also, I'm just now realizing Justin Ross is up to wide receiver 78 on Underdog. Yeah, if you want an example of slappies, if you've ever wanted slappy defined, Justin Ross, wide receiver 78 on underdog.com is slappy.
If Naveed times out and takes Zamir White here at the top of the queue, which is exactly what's going to happen for his eighth running back and fourth quarterback, I'm going to do the Philip Rivers gif. Lord, give me strength.
That's why we just need the auto draft feature just so it goes through. Because, like, and even if people, like, you talk about the star method, if people get auto drafted on the star method, it leaves less time for them to realize what they did, or if they have an emergency, like, to get back, you know, like, so you are benefiting from that.
Yeah.
He did take Zamir White.
It happens.
Let me turn on the draft board so people can see. All right. We've got 16, 17, and 18. Davis, based on the past week, have any of your late round guys been going up further? Are you chasing those, or like, are you looking at new round 18 guys? Because you were like a Malik Davis guy.
Malik Davis. And the one that's really grinding my fucking gears is Hunter Henry. Cause I used to just take him every time. And
he's still there in the 18th.
He's at 203 ADP.
He's like a 16th round pick now. Like, I used to, the back door when you just got totally in jail was Mac Jones, Hunter Henry, round 17, round 18, and you can't do it anymore. And it ruined two of my teams already. Like, I had it built in my mind, like, I could do Mac Jones, Hunter Henry, and Hunter Henry went. I did one this morning. He went at tight end 21. I am so annoyed.
Kitchen, is there maybe a best ball philosophy that could maybe help you avoid getting sniped when you wait to draft guys at ADP?
Yeah, really. Don't let like one round ADP, especially when it's the 18th. Like, what's the difference between the 18th and the 17th?
Nothing, but you have a limited number of picks you can make. You have to fill out your roster spots, and I'm building
so
with
fill
the
18th with somebody else, like a Michael Wilson, like a Cedric Tillman, like those type of guys that have a lot of upside.
David, you're literally not hearing what I'm saying. It's not a cost problem. It is a structural, you have to fill out the roster spots problem.
So what I'm saying is change the way you are drafting then. Take that tight end and then replace him by like a running back in the 18th. After playing DraftKings, after doing over 100 DraftKings best ball milli drafts and then playing on Underdog is way easier to create like a full 18 player team. Like it's like you should not have any sort of trouble filling out an 18-person roster. Now, sometimes in the 20th round on DraftKings, it can get a little hairy. It can get a little sticky. But there
who's
are
your
so
favorite,
many guys.
Who's
there.
Your favorite 20th round pick on DraftKings?
Michael Wilson, although some like he was picked in the 16th round earlier today. So him, Cedric Tillman, and then it really kind of depends. Like if there's a running back spot potentially left over. But what I find on DraftKings is that it's a lot easier to get your eighth wide receiver the very last pick because there are so many wide receivers left because everyone is trying to fill out the rosters with these other positions. So kind of what I'm looking at. Robert Woods, another one, if he lasts the 20th round, could be a guy.
Naveed is going to have to take Justin Ross in this one.
I was hoping you would, Davis. You gotta catch up on your Justin Ross exposure.
I still haven't taken him on Underdog. I've taken him on DraftKings a couple times.
Oh. Davis, you were it was funny as you were talking because my drafting ears were burning because I was gonna try to set up the Hunter Henry and Mac Jones as I kind of built out a little New England thing, and sure enough, Hunter Henry.
Isn't it? It's so chapping because it was like that was just my get out of jail free card since May. And now it's Jimmy Garoppolo, Michael Meyer, but you can't always do that because There are two other good teams that I stack a lot that have week 13 buys. Who is it? I want to say the Ravens are one of them. I got to figure this out. Who has a bye week 13? Oh, it's the Ravens, the Bills, and the Raiders and the Vikings. So a bunch of teams that I stack have week 13 buys.
I got to line up the very fun Denver Buffalo Chargers round robin playoff schedule in this draft, which I haven't been able to get in a while, I feel like.
Okay, Peter, on my team, I already have three quarterbacks. Would you take Michael Meyer to stack with Jimmy Garoppolo, or would you take an eighth wide receiver?
Let me look at your team.
Do you ever do the three quarterback, three tight end?
Oh, I'm literally about to do it right now. I do it a bunch.
Oh, look at that.
Because Meyer just makes more sense than Chase Claypool here.
Yes. No, I would do Meyer there for sure. Yeah. And I have the quarterback tight end stacks with both Wilson and Purdy. So I had 2 week nine buys at quarterback and 2 week nine buys at tight end. So I was going to try to get Mac Jones in Hunter Henry. I have to go Trey McBride, but I do grab Mac Jones here with my Ramondre and Khalil Shakur bring back.
All right. I'm going to take Meyer.
I would do Meyer for sure.
All right. Wrapping up the underdog draft and wrapping up last round of the DraftKings draft. That's fun. Malik Davis goes a pick after, I think, Michael Meyer in the 18th round is pretty good.
That means a lot coming from you.
Thank you. It seems like Michael Meyer and Musgrave have like swapped stock.
Yes.
Where everyone's talking
to me,
about
Michael
Musgrave
Meyer should be
now.
Like a 14th round pick. I don't really understand why he's going after like Hayden Hurst. Like what would possibly be the reason for that?
People are just like, people were scared like about the Jimmy Garoppolo share. Injury right. thing initially.
Jimmy Garoppolo is not, like a good.
It's not just that. It's also like the wide receiver room is not that bad, especially if they keep
Renfrow
as a slot.
The Raiders offense is going to be like kind of competent. I don't get what all this fear is about.
Yeah. Okay. Wrapping it up. I got one last pick. And right now, let's see. I've got the other thing about DraftKings is that quarterbacks go way earlier. Part of this is because of the mentioned auto draft feature, but you can't get a quarterback in your last round unless you draft a backup quarterback, which I would not suggest. Oh, I know another guy. Josh Palmer is another late round guy whose stock has been way up recently. Did y'all see that? Yes. Yes.
Well, because Kitchen Chargers Josh training Palmer camp. Will start over Quentin Johnson, but KJ Osborne won't start over Addison.
He's about to go undrafted in this draft, Kitchen. Where's the stock rise coming from?
I'm taking a look at DraftKings. Like he's he's going a little bit earlier.
Meteoric rise on DraftKings just completely.
And
flat.
Reports out of camp too. So let's draft. Josh Kelly. All right, got the stack there. All right, so that does it.
What's your Josh Kelly stack?
With Mims.
Okay. Perfect. The Josh Kelly Mims, that could be our generation's Tyler Allgeier.
You don't know.
That's the new Hurts Allgeier.
All right. So again, Burrow and Kyler Murray. I've been drafting so much Kyler recently. So they're my two quarterbacks. I wait a little bit on running back, Rashad White, Gibson, Charbonnet, Gainwell, Elliott, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who some people are saying this year's sexy pick later on in drafts. And then Josh Kelly.
Are you not worried about all this Denarik Prince stuff, Dave?
No. Mm-mm. No, Davis, as a Kansas City homer, shouldn't you like understand how things work there?
Yeah, the coaches don't like him. They really are just where it is he's been running with the third string offense in camp. So he hasn't even been with Gabbert. He's been with Shane Buscelli. I have no idea how you say his name.
Yeah.
I just want to apologize profusely to the audio listeners. You guys were hardly serviced today, and I
feel like we covered a lot of, like, it was the content that was king, and not the draft. The draft was secondary. The draft was like the appetizer. The content we covered, industry talk. We covered Portnoy. We covered late round guys. We covered differences in UX, UI on DraftKings versus Underdog and that situation. Like, there's a lot of good content in today's show. I reject that notion that audio listeners, in fact, they probably appreciate this show better than the draft only shows that we've done in the past.
Let us know in the chat how much you guys appreciate the content we do, how high effort it is, how seamless we are as broadcasters, both from an audio and visual perspective, how much production value we have. Like, please do not forget about the one I think you should leave GIF that Sosa put on the screen during the episode. I mean, I challenge any other show to execute at a level as elite as what we do around here on the Swolecast.
Yeah, we should also mention that Tuttle is about to have baby number 7 and said that he's not coming back until week 1. We have begged him behind the scenes. Any one of these guys can attest to, we have begged him to come on the show. He even said, he's even thought of like good bits. He's even been in the chat, but he will not come on a show until week 1 of the NFL season. So
is in-season Swolecast kitchen? Cause you always got tricks up your sleeve. Like today you're like, I'm doing 2 drafts and we're like, whoa. And then like you spring it on us.
I said that yesterday. You're just never in the chat anymore since you went big. Well, on us.
Yeah. It's just, I can't have notifications on for like the one group chat I have on in Slack. Like that's just a bridge too far. But I was going to ask Kitchen, are you planning as the visionary for the Swolecast? Is the show in season going to be familiar to people from previous years, or do you have kind of a change up, a curveball you're thinking about throwing into the show format?
No, I mean, we'll just have to, that'll be a group decision, this is year 10 or year 11, one of the two. Tikatari says, say less words, Kitchen. A lot of people agree with him. We're kind of like the all in podcast of fantasy sports.
Which one of us is Chamath?
I think Chamath is probably Tuttle.
You're definitely David Sachs for sure.
Yeah.
Is this a finance podcast?
This is where Davis pretends that he doesn't know one of the
No, I know who Chamath is. He's the guy who like says something disastrously stupid about finance like every 6 months and goes viral. He's the guy who had all those SPACs that went belly up.
Yeah, the SPACs.
From the guy who pretended he didn't know Tim Ferriss. Now comes who is Chamath in the all in.
No, Tim Ferriss is a Huberman, bro. So he's out.
All right. You getting to know Tim Ferriss through Huberman and not the other way around is hilarious. Most people got to know Huberman from Tim Ferriss.
The four hour work week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Kitchen, he still lives by that mantra to this day. Fucking just drafts teams in his shower all day, 4 hour work week.
No, in fact, the 4 hour work week would be like finding someone else to draft for you in the shower. That'd be the 4 hour work week. Like, he was big on like outsourced labor, like before it even became a thing.
Yeah.
All right. So just wrapping a bow up on this, Peter, I didn't ask you, but like anything in the past week that changed the way that you're drafting like late round guys, like any news, any drumbeat, any sort of signal that you're like, okay, I'm actually buying this. This is not something that can be ignored. I'm actually buying this.
Yeah, it's Luke Musgrave. Hadn't been drafting a ton of him. Have been doing a lot of late tight end builds. Have a bunch of Mayer, a bunch of McBride, a lot of Gesicki. Like a lot of those guys correlating Ferguson with Dak. I'm buying it. Played all 19 first team snaps with Jordan Love.
Packers, a Packers practice. Family night truther.
Exactly. So, and the depth chart's just wide open. I mean, they really have nothing there. So I'm getting excited about Musgrave. Happy to click him even as his price rises into the 17th round, because a wise man once told me a 17th, 16th round pick isn't that much different from an 18th.
It really isn't. It really isn't. It could determine if you get into the final or not. Like, Davis, this could be the key for you to actually get into
a best ball final this year. So don't take it lightly.
Hey, I've been five best ball finals.
Okay.
Why? I don't know why.
In Harditz. In Harditz had a great tweet. I think it was in Harditz a couple of days ago about.
How did you just say his name? Isn't it Ian?
This is what Sosa pipes in for.
Absolutely.
In Harditz, not Ian Harditz.
Okay. All right, bye.
Later, Sosa. Thanks for hanging out.
All right.
I really wish I had a hard out.
Yeah. So anyways, he said like last year, basically saying, I'm never choosing a rookie tight end ever again after all these guys imploded. And this year, you say it like
all the best picks at tight ends are Kyle Pitts, Darren Waller, and a bunch of rookies. It's like surely that's not going to lead to heartbreak, right?
Yeah, I think he said something like in Harditz is basically free. It's like none of you guys even care. Is what he said.
Oh, that's one of my favorite genres of Ian tweets is when he points out how this dusty veteran has actually scored a lot of points and no one cares.
Yeah.
It's true. I don't care.
He said January through July. I've learned my lesson. Late round fantasy football tight end picks are just too risky. Next year, I'll make sure to make a real early round investment at the position. And then in August, Luke Musgrave is free in fantasy football land, and it's like none of you even care. So that's a good
Dave learning about fantasy miles. Football. He just reads his timeline. Dave just logs on, and whatever take he sees that resonates with him, that's what he's doing in drafts that day.
Do you suggest not doing that, Davis?
Land the plane. I mean, honestly, to be real, I mostly read Sean Siegel's Road of His articles and Ben Gretsch's Substack and then kind of just grift off that.
And philosophy when you're on the turn.
It's so nice. You get like eight minutes of uninterrupted reading. When you're reading aphorisms, you know, you don't like lose your place or whatever. It's nice. You just read one little aphorism, then you go back to your draft.
Davis, have you seen Oppenheimer?
Yes. Oh my God. Top you see 10 movie for me immediately.
IMAX 70 millimeter film.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's beautiful. It was very rarely do movies that spend as much marketing as they do on the actual film end up being good. Rare example of a movie that was marketed to piss that totally, justified all. Cillian Murphy, one of the greatest working actors. I mean, he is so unbelievable.
Kept on like pointing to the screen like, oh, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so, that's Dexter's dad. That's, you know, all these pop culture references. All right, final thoughts, Davis?
Final thoughts. Justin Ross is wide receiver 78 on underdog.com, and the last time he had a good game was in 2018, and it still doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, just absolutely steamed up this past week.
Yeah, but and no steam yet for Josh Downs. When does Josh Downs' week in the sun come?
Yeah. All right, Peter.
One got a plug randomizer tonight with Red Zone's Scott Hansen. Much looking forward to that.
Very nice. He once commented on Davis's weekly thread that he did those 2 weeks.
That's how I was able to get him. I actually DM'd him and I was like, "Remember that guy Davis who you replied to his thread? That's
you think,
my guy."
You think he'd do? You think he'd do the take cast, or is it too risque for him?
I mean, I would argue
the optimizer is definitely more risque. Yeah,
more risque. Yeah, because yeah. I right after so Pat Thorman is who helped me book him because he knows Scott Hansen, and he like the episode that had just come out was Liam. And so Liam has like socks stuffed in his mouth saying why Dalton Kincaid's a good pick. And I had to be like, Scott, I promise the goal is not to make you look silly. It's to have fun. It's to play to your strengths. I have final say on all of these prompts. So, you know, we actually had to do a little PR for the randomizer here. So I think you would have better success pitching the take cast. I will also say Kitchen too. Let's talk about that full-time job, man. I'm ready to listen. I see the kind of
Pete. He had 2 years of being self-employed, and he's done. He's out. He's over it. You'd like to come back to the friendly confines?
I think I'm ready to do like a niche college football product for Roto Grinders. Is what I think I could provide.
You taking over like Tuttle's job for a week now, because Tuttle's the one providing now projections, and I see him linking like these rando tweets about Bowling Green State University wide receivers. No. I'm like, wow, like we are so
BGSU wide receivers. If you get them right, that's a print factory.
That's right. All right. I think that will do it for the show. Special thanks to Sosa for producing the show and also just offering timely insights and really putting up with us. Thanks to everyone listening. Make sure to leave a comment. Thanks to Davis and Pete. And just let me say, don't let others define what success is to you. Mm. You get to define what success is to you. And whether that be in your best ball drafts, whether that be in a company that you buy back for $0, you are in control of your own value. So with that being said, hope everyone has a great week. We'll see you next week here on the Swolecast on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.